Okay, well, I'm just going to riff off of the agenda you had suggested, which is basically a quick recap of things that went right or wrong with this year's symposium, comments on the communique, and then on the overall ontology summit for this year.
Right, if people would refresh, at least I got the roll call status in.
Well, that's really quick for this year, I guess. Is that right? So anyway, I'll just try. I think the symposium, as far as logistics and all, seemed to go very well this year. I guess we keep doing it over again, maybe we can get the kinks ironed out. So didn't have any trouble with wireless, internet, or anything. I have no particular thoughts about what needs improvement. Anyone else have any comments on that for the symposium?
Not for logistics, no.
It worked. I mean, I guess we could have had a earlier start or more active on getting sponsorship if we wanted to have snacks and stuff, but I personally didn't find that was a huge issue.
Not at all.
I didn't find any issues with how it worked. I have suggestions to make it go even better.
Yeah, please.
But not problems.
Hmm. What are the suggestions of Serum?
I think that there were some opportunities to enhance the remote participation. That only if you think in directly to what was actually happening insofar as there was the chat was projected some of the time. I think that there are some of what I'm thinking of is part of a larger, enhancement of participation throughout the duration of the summit. So it doesn't really, it's not really symposium specific, but were that all to be going, I would envision both that chat integrated and also some other, I don't know. Probably other folks have been to conferences recently where the Twitter is up being projected to stream on the hashtag.
Yeah, in fact, now that you mention it, I guess we could have had better, essentially, shared screen or something,
Right, and some
meeting, whatever.
Right, or possibly video on the session on the speaker or what, there's just things like that that help. Or simulcast in Second Life. I don't know. It's not stuff that really would make a difference just for the symposium, but it would be integrated in the symposium as part of a broader strategy to bring more people and more modes of interaction into the whole summit.
Yeah, more of an immersive experience for the remote attendees, in other words. That's true, actually. We didn't have very many remote attendees, and maybe that was a cause or a symptom.
I would tend to doubt that we don't have remote attendees because of those. I would tend to think that this is about the size of the community right now. I mean, we stand to grow much larger. But if you go back on the track record on all remote participation, I mean, even our phone conferences, which are just slide and audio, gets anywhere from 20 to 60 people, I guess. We usually will have more than 20, but the maximum we had was like maybe 60, 65 at the most. And this time we have like 40, some maybe 40, 50 on-site and less than 10 remote participation. I think that's the size. I mean, even if we have everything, we want, I don't think that the number of remote participants would have it would have increased drastically.
This is Fabian. The reason why the chat wasn't up all the time was technical difficulties. It was basically to do with this rules about laptops and me not having the right account and stuff like that. And also, I was a little bit, I had a problem at the same time working as a communicator and calling the session and taking too much time on trying to fix the technical problems. So it was a kind of an overload on my side as well.
Right, right, exactly. I think assigning that to you was not the best thing. We should have maybe assigned someone else, I mean, who didn't have to do the communicate to take care of at least monitoring and running the chat and making sure it's projected and so on.
Yeah. The problem was that Mark wanted a NIST person, and I was the only NIST person in the room.
Oh, I see.
So otherwise, I wouldn't have said yes to that anyhow, because I know that it was about to be busy, but he wanted, and that also he didn't want me to use my own laptop, which I still used for some time, ignoring that, because it didn't work. I couldn't get the other laptop to work, but at the end I then used the other laptop. So that was part of the problem. The other thing I want to say is I don't think that the split screen with chats and Twitter messages are very good idea. I personally find it distracting. Maybe I'm just not conservative and not multitasking, not my strong suit. But having, if people do a presentation, I want to focus on the presentation and their slides. Having some comments behind them is just going to distract. So I'm fine if it's somewhere where I can ignore it, like in my back. It was this time with the chat. I'm not a big fan of central overload.
I'm quite sympathetic to that. What I have found useful in a couple of conferences recently, that actually got me to start using Twitter, is that a lot of sidebars and references can get pushed to it. That then there for later reference. And if it's visible somewhere, of course, if it's Twitter, if people are on Twitter, if people care about it, can just be on Twitter and see for themselves that references have been uploaded, you know, same to the chat or something like that. And then they don't need to keep asking or keep, you know, pursuing, trying to insert a sidebar. It's been given another direction. But I completely
think that's going on. I mean, I like very much that it's going on, as long as I'm not forced to see it.
I think the reason why some folks started putting it up at the front of the room, because of a few incidents you may have read about in the past year at conferences where the Twitter back channel got nasty. So it's sort of putting it up publicly is a little bit of a reminder to people that this is a professional conversation that's being recorded. And they need to.
I think policing what people say and should have less priority than keeping the public on focus.
Sure.
Fabian.
Yeah. Well, I do think that I'll sort of support Amanda's remark about the fact that those kinds of tools are especially useful for the remote attendees because it gives them a chance to get their voice heard. Where it's often hard for them to break in and also kind of less efficient from a time perspective to break in sometimes if they're not present. So they prove a little bit more of a distraction, I think, for the people physically attending, but are tremendously useful, I think, for those remotely attending. Right.
It might not be a bad idea to just assign somebody the role of you know, sort of the facilitator for those things, or somebody who, like, you know, watches and moves a topic into the main thing if the main summit, if it needs to be, but...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, someone definitely needs to be assigned,
And it needs to be obviously a separate person. And then, I think, Fabian, you're, I mean, what you say is absolutely not only reasonable but typical, right? I mean, the not overloading people playing critical roles is pretty important.
I wouldn't say typical, but it represents a certain segment of the community, definitely. Fabian, I'm interested, actually. Forget about the symposium setting, the virtual session setting. Do you think the chat screen, do you usually log into the chat screen?
I log into the chat screen, but most of the time, especially if I have an active role, like, you know, like during this last symposium, I ignore it. I find it, as I said, I find it distracting. I just try to focus on the presentation, and I have, usually I'm busy with that.
Right. Well, yeah, that's exactly my question. I was trying to find out whether you find it distracting because it's a face-to-face setting or whether you find it distracting anyway, even if it is a virtual setting.
Bobby, and let me share something with you that may make you suddenly very grateful for it. When the chat's there, people like me who are having 1,000 tangential ideas that they want to communicate to somebody else in the crowd who's had a related one, will put it in the chat and not interrupt the speaker.
Well, on a related note, I noticed that half of the chat content comes from Ravi, so I'm happy that he has
a... Exactly. There are often... I noticed on the virtual sessions... The chat is often multi-threaded in that way. Like, threads pick up and drop off at different times, and some of them will involve only a few people. Some of those may actually develop into something very useful later, and some of them may just be kind of talking to each other.
Yeah, but the chat during the virtual sessions have been extremely useful overall.
Yeah.
For example, like our session on surveying the landscape, I think a lot of the ideas, especially those for the real-time Delphi, actually was developed in that sort of semi-real-time setting.
It gives a brainstorming mode.
There's no argument against using the chat. I just don't want to have it in front of me. I have to look at it. I have a look at it when it's useful, or when I feel like I have enough brain capacity to... So look at that as well, but I want to have a choice. That's all I want.
Yeah, absolutely, and that, I guess that's what I'm saying was typical. Like, I think that from a cognitive and pedagogical point of view, you can't argue. Right.
Yes.
But I think it's worth it.
Okay.
Yep.
So maybe Peter, are you taking any comments down on the wiki?
Yes, actually, if you wait. If you refresh the screen and look below ChewCST.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, so the remote aspect.
Right. So one, we need to assign someone. Someone needs to be assigned to run the side screen, which I think it would be at least something we can do better.
And maybe it's worth some focused brainstorming on what modes should be integrated and how.
Right. But, I mean, that also depends on who we assign, who that person is accustomed with, and so on and so forth.
Okay, you might sell Amanda there.
right. You've got it.
So.
Okay. All right.
Next item, why don't we move on to discuss the communique then. This was much better this year, thanks to people like Fabian and Barry, who went off and put a lot of work in ahead of the meeting, I thought. Yeah. So we had a pretty good communique going into the symposium this time. So, what are your all thoughts on that? What worked well, what needed improvement?
I would just like to say, Fabian, I was very impressed with the way that you integrated the comments and suggestions that were thrown at you in a better way than Payson. I was very impressed.
I personally think this is the best communique we had through the through all 5 years, both in terms of structure and content. And I guess a lot of it is definitely due to the fact that we are much, much better prepared. There's a lot more work done around what goes into this communique, as well as sort of the drafting of the communique before we walked in. I mean, if we remember, like, the year when Olivier and Frank were doing it, they were pretty much writing what they were gathering during the first day, I mean, that evening. I don't think we even had a draft, although, I mean, I remember that year the principal thing was Michael's slides, right? Michael, you're still there.
Yeah, we had
right.
But you're right. In previous years, we at most had scattered notes that then were greatly augmented at the face-to-face. Whereas this year, all the discussion had kind of taken place before, and it was more fine-tuning this year.
So yeah, I thought that was really good. I still believe we're going to get some press coverage of this, but it hasn't happened yet.
Well, one thing which I don't know how to improve, but probably should improve if you find a way, is that I lost the remark, people sent me things by email while I was being busy interacting with life, and there was just too many comments for me to keep track of. I did my best, but there were just a few things that fell through the crack. So having some form where people could send that, it would have been better. I don't know how we should have organized it better, but it was in this moment a little bit much for one person to cope with. But more than one person editing the document. Not technically possible, and also probably not desirable because it's going to create a conflict. So I'm not sure how to solve it, but it was kind of a problem. And that was a situation where there wasn't too many comments, because there was surprisingly consensus. And if the comments were, if there would have been more discussions, or if the
more controversy,
it would have been probably harder. So I'm not sure how to solve the problem with it.
I do think, though, that one element of that was because it was in existence prior to the actual meeting, people had a chance to see it. Now, you're right, had it been controversial even then, perhaps it would have still been controversial, but I think a lot of comments come up when people see things for the first time. That's when they sort of say, oh, well, I didn't like the heading here or something.
Right.
So you got past all that right away. So two essential elements in my mind were getting it done earlier than the meeting, and secondly, having one person who was able to exercise judgment, namely you, Fabian, and being the single manager of the document, while incorporating the comments. I think that was the other essential.
You're right. I mean, I got comments during the first session, and then over the weekend, I got four or five people sending me comments, so that at least either I could incorporate them or I could send them emails to tell them why certain things are how they are, and suggest to bring it up if they wanted to this on that point. So, yes, you're right. That actually, I mean, that helped a lot, making the important lessons during this deposit. But, yeah, probably just, we have a year. Maybe we can come up with an idea of how to organize it a little bit better. That part. But otherwise, I'm not sure anyway, people were patient with me, and those people looked up nice.
Right. Okay. Well, let's move on.
Yeah. One more comment. Okay. Can I put in one more comment? I ran into Mark Musen in and we chatted a little bit, and he felt great about the communique, and he said, I mean, this is the one, I mean, of all the years, that this is the one that is going to make an impact. And I believe he is correct. Not that the other communiques are not good, but it's not going to have impact either, because, I mean, it addresses the issues that are only of interest to us, but this one actually addresses some burning issue, and it's something that will be hoisted up there that other people who will reference, will make reference to. Like, I mean, if we, the communique we say on let's say OOR, I mean, if you're not working on OOR, you might not sort of take interest in how to build an OOR or what needs to be in an OOR. But I guess education is broad enough people, I mean, even the computer science people and so on will probably sort of make reference to this, and in so doing, I guess, help them formulate what is an ontologist in their mind. So I think this is great.
You made the comment about media coverage. I would like to give you my suggestion of catching up with the new modes. We might want to ping some of the people who are doing semantic technology, ontology, broadcasting, either through, I don't know, sort of the modalities editors. There's a lot of Twitter streaming on this. There's a semantic news Twitter feed. Those kinds of folks might be ones to particularly the folks that could get picked up. I did notice that there are some conspicuous absences in any way, and I'm not sure, people who've just not paid any attention to, but I'm not sure what, like if their politics or old disappointments going on.
Does it mean you were expecting to see some mention on certain blogs or something, or what?
I expect them to at least have, yeah, there'd be some evidence on their communications over the last several weeks, which is gone, or the results, and I haven't seen it.
Yeah. Well, maybe we need to consider.
Jim Hemler would be an example of that, and I don't know why. But if there's history there, it might not be solvable. But if it could be that some, it could be a matter of some personal outreach to people who had something. I mean, there could be more Stefanos out there, right, who've had some bad experience in the past and aren't.
Right. If anything, I mean, it's the few of us who are going to sort of move that. Thing, though, I mean, Michael and I and several others were at the IAOA Executive Council meeting just yesterday, and the council actually confirmed its support by having all the executive councillors going to be individual endorsers and have agreed to circulate the solicitation for endorsement through the IAOA channels. And the IAOA channels essentially are, what, Michael, about 20 or 30 mailing lists that the 11 executive councillors are each assigned to cover some of those, I mean, at least systematic in a sense. And at the council meeting, it was agreed that IAOA will help sort of broadcast that solicitation for endorsement. So watch that coming. I'm sure.
But Eddie, you were more concerned with kind of having broader participation before and during the summit?
I'm looking to both, actually. I think that they're tied together. I mean, participation brings buy-in, brings broad or something like
that. And you want to buy it afterwards as well, right?
Here's why. I agree that this is going to have a lot of impact. But there's also, there are also activities going on in that I'm seeing, you know, in the government transparency related, you know, DC area semantic web, really important initiatives that are really high energy right now, and I'm not seeing anything on those channels. And there should be something on those channels because they are talking about kicking things up that involve semantics. You know, it's going to be, you know, it's a potential new round of hiring the wrong people to do ontologies and so forth that could benefit from at least an awareness of that there is actually a community of experienced people thinking about these things and somewhere to reach somewhere to look for information besides flailing and guessing. The lack of connection to the semantic web meetups is one of the anyway, so yeah, I would say I think it's all integrated, the participation and the outreach, but I mean, and the not outreach, the communication of the results effectively.
Yeah.
So I think we can all act on is maybe try now is short little missives to people we know are active bloggers or Twitterers and things like that to see if we can use that buzz.
Yep.
Right. So I guess, I mean, if anyone is going to do anything, it's us. So
yep.
Let's continue on an individual basis to continue to
yeah.
to move that message out, put that message out.
And maybe each of us can try and find, like, at least, you know, two people at least who are active out there, you can let them know about the thing that you get pulled in, you know, the whole communique, and let them know about it, point them to it, and see if they'll pick up on it.
Yep.
That's actionable. Okay. All right. We're ready to go on to the somewhat overall discussion then. This is a list of items that Peter has put down. How we frame the whole thing, how we organize the team this time. We had an organizing committee, we had the breakdown, which did morph, in my opinion, from our original breakdown of the topic. It transformed gradually over the 3 months into a different way of breaking it down at the end. What do you all think about that? Because we did have the, you know, we originally had content as one thing, requirements as one thing, and the sort of the future as one thing. And that kind of morphed into more or less the past and the future, the past slash present and the future.
Well, I think one thing that benefited us this year was that the topic was not controversial and actually was semi-mature in the sense that people were teaching aspects of ontology or in various forms, and so they could just bring that to bear, and there wasn't a lot of conflict in bringing all that stuff together. I think in previous years there has either been controversy or the topic is relatively immature, and so a lot more work that needs to be done to kind of fill in the blanks.
I agree with Michael. The disadvantage of having no controversy was that there was less participation in the email, on the email side of things, in the for the face-to-face meeting. We had much more participation in previous years.
No,
but we had the surveys, which was a great tool. I liked that, the surveys and the future study a lot. I think that's something we should certainly keep in mind for the future.
I think that actually something that could have been better if for example, if the requirement surveys had been done as earlier, and if I had been more able to pull results out of it earlier, that were really striking, that may have generated some more, you know, controversy or opinionated discussion on the mailing list over the, you know, relative merit of different pieces that we really didn't get to, or the nature of different pieces that we didn't get to pick up.
Amanda and also, I guess, Arturo both mentioned, they said, look, this is the first time they've ever done a survey. I was wondering if you had any thoughts about what you would have done different, since we were not professional surveyors.
Loads of thoughts.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, just understanding the survey tool and what, how you can pull information out of it, I would not have had, for example, any questions that had, you know, 20 answers if I knew that you could only do a cross-tab analysis inside the tool on 5 answers at a time. and that's just experience. But also, I mean, there's just, there are a lot of things that show that I think it was really valuable. I'm happy with it in a lot of ways, but the questions are not designed as much as they could have been, you know, tailored very clearly to pull out single factor, to even in combination to narrow down, you know, single factor in.
Yes, so back to the email discussion. Yes, I agree that's less, but one observation I have had through the years is Ontolog actually has multiple communities. There's an email community, there's a virtual session community, and there's a sort of summit community, which don't, I mean, of course there's some overlap, but they're fairly distinct. And so, looks like the subject just did not catch the imagination of the emailers, emailing community, and maybe we could have assigned someone who are sort of more into that group to try to invigorate the email discussion. I mean, it wasn't for a lack of topic, because at the very beginning, actually, people had started fairly good threads. For example, there was a thread on, let's say, the old book, the ontologist's body of knowledge. I mean, people could have sort of followed that through.
Yeah.
I beg your pardon?
Pierre's aptitude test.
The aptitude test. I mean, those could have been developed into very good inputs, but they sort of died down after a little bit. So possibly, if we could do this better, is even if we don't pre-assign people, after we see those threads coming out and there were one or two people that are active, we might have enlisted them into the organizing committee and have them run and help moderate and help sort of develop that conversation a little more. So this is one thought that we might do.
Peter, I have a question.
Yes.
I don't remember to whom the initial announcement of the summit topic went at. Did it just go to the forum and maybe a couple of...
Our standard announcement is Ontolog invitation, which has about 1,400 subscribers. Ontolog Forum has about 700. So Ontolog Forum is, you have to sort of proactively say that you want to join the community to be on Ontolog Forum. Ontolog Invitation is a list whereby if you had come to anything, if you had written to inquire, since it's an announcement list, I will automatically put you on that list unless you unsubscribe yourself. So that's usually where it goes. And short of any of the other people making announcement, I mean, IAOA being one of our co-sponsors, the Stanford people. So some of the announcements had gone through, had been routed through the IAOA general list, which is actually a smaller list than the announcement, but slightly different people, and the protege list, which is huge, I mean, which is much bigger than the Ontolog announcement list. So those were the channels that we regularly broadcast things. We obviously can improve on those.
You mentioned the difference between the different seasons. I think that's really important. I know that there are plenty of people who have been on the forum at times and signed off because they can't stand the signal noise issues. And I wonder if some of them tune out the invitations as well or don't necessarily realize that it doesn't involve all those people. Anyway, I don't know. That's just an open-ended thought.
Well, I guess what we could do is create an Ontolog announcement list or whatever and try to bring back the people that dropped off because of the noise. So then they only get announcements on that particular list and then can subscribe to the summit lists, which, again, have more signal and less noise.
Actually, very few people drop themselves off the Ontolog announcement list because, I mean, that's not a very busy list.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah.
So the announcement list is still highly subscribed. Okay.
Right. So that's why it's twice the number of people as Ontolog Forum.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I do think a related aspect is the reaction of some people to be on the advisory committee. It's kind of a 6-1, half a dozen of the other. We got more people because we didn't really require them to do anything on the advisory committee or sponsorship, for that matter, other than sort of a cozy feeling, which I think some people thought was silly. But on the other hand, we got more people that way, and it was a sort of a little bit of feeling that they ought to do things like the survey and get a little more involved than they might otherwise. But I always felt that that was a little bit awkward, our long list of advisory committee members.
Yeah, I think the advisory member is good, but we don't do enough to engage them, and they don't do enough to actually get engaged both ways.
I
have to confess that I'm inclined to say that I don't think somebody should stay on the advisory list if they don't participate at all. I think you'd actually have to do something advisory. Opine, at least. But
yeah, I think Peter's agenda there has always been to it serve as a self-perpetuating momentum by getting a lot of people on the advisory list, right, Peter?
Right, exactly. I think we are not matured enough to be very selective. I'm almost certain people who are on the advisory list, even if they are lurking, it's going to help eventually. I mean, the people like, let's say, Doug Leonard or all through the course, I mean, and previously, Stefano Bertolo and so on, I mean, although he finally dropped off everything, this time. But Ivan Herman and so on. I mean, these people are definitely not going to engage, but at least by having them on the list, they are watching, and I'm almost certain they are.
Yeah.
And I think that's useful.
Yeah, I think that's a long-term plan, basically, right? And that, it doesn't seem useful in the near term.
No, not on the near term, but in the long term, yes. It's just a belief.
Okay. Well, let's see. I know I have about 10 minutes. I'm going to have to probably leave. So what other topics on the overall summit did you feel? I mean, I think things worked pretty well. So it's not like a
long list of criticisms, I think, self-criticisms here.
I think there is something we want to identify. I don't know if we want to do it on the call or to try on the list, but to have a nice kind of flow into the workshop at POISE. So if Fabian agrees to say present the results of the summit at that workshop, it would still be nice to have some discussion in this forum, kind of keep a little bit of momentum to try to kind of determine how, besides just the reporting of results, how the summit will shape what's going to happen at the workshop.
I was in touch with Anthony, who told me that he had very agreed to give a presentation on the on the summit.
Okay.
And he is planning to have a panel discussion. I'm not sure what the panel will discuss, but he invited me to be on it, so I guess I will find out.
Okay, good. Good. Okay, so I guess maybe then Stuart Anthony can make the day, but I guess he hasn't. He's fleshed out the integration a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That does raise an interesting point, I think, Michael, which is sort of thinking of the Ontology Summit as part of this ecosystem of meetings that can cross-pollinate, if you like. So, and what
and actually,
you say, IAOA.
Right.
If you want to get industry, then somebody should present, submit this to MCAT.
Yeah, thinking that too. I'll be at Suntech, but in a slightly different context on building information. But,
and they have already closed. Yeah, they've probably already closed.
Actually, they haven't. They extended it.
They did?
I got something, yes.
I thought they already announced the detailed agenda.
I think Amanda's right. I jumped into the Suntech website either yesterday or the day before, and it was surprising to see it was saying something like something's available or open or something.
Yep.
Try and pull that up myself.
Now, I know that I think their website got hit earlier this week, so it could be a little off, but no, it's open.
Yeah, call for presentations is now open. That's what it says.
Oh, wow.
And I saw an actual, actually I think it was a Twitter note from one of the folks at Semantic Universe confirming this. So
who else are going to be at Semtech? I will be presenting a paper on OOR.
I have been undecided, but if I have a reason to be there, I'll be there.
Make this your reason. You make this your reason.
I mean, either you could do it, Amanda, or either or I guess could be double duty on presenting that as well. But we could think.
I mean, we can team up. We can team up and
and
jointly present or whatever.
Yeah.
Find out, I mean, who in the organizing committee are going to be at Semtech, and then we do a sort of co-authorship, and maybe one of us can present, or we can all stand up there.
Okay, let's
I'll start a submission, and if you want, and
actually,
and then we can figure out. Because it's got to start, I mean, I think we don't know exactly when they're closing it, right? So.
Right. And if you were being sort of second thought because of the cost, if you put in a submission, you get a free registration.
Right.
That's $1,500 right there.
Right. So,
that's right.
So we, since I guess...
Second speaker. You're free for the first speaker, and then it's down to $400 for the second speaker. I'm in the $400 category right now. I don't know, Peter, are you in the free category?
I'm on the free category on OOR, so I got my free admission. So
yeah, so I'm not free, but I'm only $400, and I'm going to get Carnegie Mellon to pay for it. So
right. So Amanda, if you do the submission,
yeah, That would be
very pragmatic.
I would definitely welcome that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would not be getting
paid. Why don't you do that, and then we can sort of on email, you know, try and whip something together there with shipping of people.
Okay.
All right, that sounds good.
Works for me.
Peter, you wanted to,
I want you to schedule a community postmortem, which we have been doing every year, shortly after, or maybe within a month from the symposium, and to wrap the whole thing up and get some brainstorm some ideas for the next summit and so on. So the first question I actually would like to ask you is, will there be an Ontology Summit 2011 witnessed, and so on?
We step onto that subject. I have a question which is maybe a little, you know, fits the previous one a little bit better, if I might. The question is, somebody, I think Barry suggested that we publicize this, the communique in a journal. I don't remember which one he was.
Apply AOJ.
So is somebody having the, doing that? Is Barry taking care of that? Or
can you find out if Barry, let's assign that to you and Barry, and then you probably end up getting the job, the real heavy lifting. Would that be okay? Yeah.
Good, okay. Well, I just wanted to make sure. So they, have we done that before?
No, we have done that before. I think we've only missed 1 year.
Okay.
We're supposed to, the usual thing is, you and Barry, or you could be the lead author, and then try to enlist all the others who were like co-authors or organizing committee members who want to participate, and then so we have submitted the paper with the whole sort of long list of co-authors arranged in alphabetical order, and I think that's what we've been doing.
And if the, just to, for me to get it right, did we just publish the communique as it was, or is it basically embedding the communique in a larger paper?
Go ahead, Michael, you've done one before.
It is kind of making it into a journal paper, so usually there is a little bit of more writing and wordsmithing involved in the final version.
But the communique as is should go in as a part,
yeah.
As the main part.
Yeah, definitely, you kind of add in kind of a little bit more introduction, and you might add in a little more conclusion and stuff like that. But it's more or less, yeah, like you know, the text of the communique pretty well appears as is.
Right. Yeah, the communique probably is like 75% of that paper, or something like that. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah, you provide a little more context and a little more interpretation of sort of meaning, you know, implication. Yeah.
So you might want to send out a message to the organizing committee and say you're starting this, who else wants to be in the list of co-authors, and see who wants to come back on it.
Okay, yeah, I will do that. First, I will talk to Barry and see what he has in mind. Maybe he has already started.
Okay, I'm going to have to pretty much move real soon here, but I did want to say, in response to your last point, Peter, that what I think is probably timely at this point is you have made a number of preliminary overtures to ITL at NIST. I think it might be time for us to actually send them a proposal to more explicitly support next year's Ontology Summit. I think that's the stable, the remaining stable place at NIST right now, given the reorganization that's going on, that we might get a favorable reply from CETA. So I think at the very least you and I ought to sit down and perhaps pull together a proposal we could put to CETA for landing to support this next year.
This is This is supported by remarks I got from Al. I mean, I asked him yesterday what he thinks, and of course, the waiver is, or the disclaimer is, we don't know what is going to happen here, and, you know, things might change, and now there are actually rumors that we end up at ITL, which is, I still pretty unlikely, but okay, might be the case. But in any case, we end up in the engineering lab as planned. He said that from his perspective, it's rather unlikely and that we would get support of the lab. He would suggest to make contingency plans.
I do believe there's a bit of a background couple going on over some of the stuff that's in MSID now.
Okay, so
between IPL and the new engineering lab.
So very quickly, could we land a date
for the community postmortem session? I have April 8th and 15th open. Hopefully, if we have an ITL response by then, it would definitely be better. Then shall we maybe just say April 15 now?
The 15 would be better for me. On the 8th, I'm on travel. So,
okay.
I'd prefer the 15.
15's okay.
Okay, 15. Any objections? Not April 15 it will be.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Before you leave, 2CT2.
Yes.
Steve, yours to do.
2CT2. 2CT2, yeah, a vote of thanks wasn't on this committee. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Since this is the last of the organizing committee meetings, I guess,
that's true. I would completely agree with that. I think we all worked really well. Everyone really pulled in their weight on the organizing committee, you know, not so much on the advisory committee, but the organizing committee was a really good team this year. So I think we all have something to be proud of on that score.
Yeah, I think we should really be proud of this year. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, and all of you on the call were amazing. Okay, so listen, I've got to go. If you guys want to keep covering some things, that's fine, but I've got to disappear.
Okay, there's only one thing when you have a chance, go look back under the any other business. There's one more thing you can cover later.
Okay, I'll take a look later then.
All right.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Yeah, Elizabeth, you had a comment.
Well, we would like to put some words about the ontology study in the next Case of the Future report. And I hope that the organizing committee agrees with that. Obviously, we will circulate the draft before the fact. And if there will be no objections, we would like to add the community on the CD that comes with the State of the Future.
Yes,
the State of the Future is circulated a lot among the policymakers.
Yes, that's exactly what we are hoping to happen. Actually, when I first agreed with the Millennium Project, that's also one of the agreements that we'll work on this together, and we hope you would publish this. Because the Millennium Project reports get circulated with policymakers worldwide. I mean, that will get the whole word out. I mean, to more people than we can ever hope for. So please do that.
About information systems, since we will have the situation room, the climate change situation room that is developed for South Korea, but it's world. Climate change situation room, and hopefully we will develop also the global information network, not to call it GIMS, but global information system for communication. So probably it will have more to do with ontology and will be more read by the community. by the community of people who work and policymakers who work in information systems decision making.
Sounds great.
So it might be a very, very good environment this year.
Yep, definitely. Yep. Please publish it.
Okay, thank you. So when you guys will have your paper done, I would like to see that too, so we can draw on that. I'm sorry I will be traveling on April 15th, so I will not be attending the very last meeting of the committee. But I was very, very happy to be accepted to work with you guys. It was a great honor and a very great experience.
Yeah, it was a great honor for us, I mean, to work with you and Ted and Jerry as well.
Thank you.
Great, thank you. So, anything else? Anyone?
No.
Right. Amanda?
I don't think so.
Okay, so this is it. I will work up the April 15 postmortem session for the community and watch out for that and look forward to having you guys there.
Okay, and I'll be in contact with people to see whether people sure bite on the session about this. Okay.
Oh, all right. Great. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.